You know, when my daughter was little, whenever we went out together, she always had a habit that she did. And it was whenever we found ourselves at the store or in the mall or just out walking around or whatever, there would come a time when she was little when she would just reach up and take me by the hand. And we would walk together. And that was just something we did constantly during her growing up years. And I really never thought much about it. I kind of always took that for granted until she was about 8 years old. And I guess about that time, it occurred to me, she's not going to be doing this much longer. Don't take it for granted. Because the day is going to come when she's not going to want to be seen holding your hand in public. And that's exactly what happened. That day came in the natural course of things when she stopped doing that. And when she did, I missed it. I missed that loving touch. A loving touch. Everybody longs for it. We all need it. When we don't receive it, we miss it. When it's absent, we begin to wither inside. There's something about that physical touch that we enjoy, whether you're the youngest or the oldest. I can remember years and years ago when I was a youth minister in Clanton. After the service, I was talking with one of our older members, and as we parted from one another, I just kind of put my arm around her and said, "I'll see you next week." And she looked at me and she said, "I cannot remember the last time somebody hugged me," which is why I try to do that every Sunday. There's something about the need for loving touch in our lives. A week or so ago, our staff was sharing with Sam about how our church responded to the challenges of COVID. You remember that? You remember how bad that time was? We remembered the live stream Sundays when we couldn't be together. We talked about how we figured out how to do the Lord's Supper when everybody was in their individual homes. We talked about the daily encouragements we put online every week. We talked about the outdoor Easter service we planned, about the First Lights drive-through Christmas musicals we did. But you know, the thing that I remember as being the hardest part of that season was that for more than a year, we were separated from one another. You remember what it was like? We marked off every other pew, and we had to sit apart. And that thing I had to say every Sunday during greeting time, when I would stand up and say to the church, "Turn around, look at one another, and give each other a hearty wave." And that was all we could do. No handshakes, no hugs, no pats on the back, no way of ever actually coming into contact with one another. I hated that time in our lives, because that's not the way the Lord has designed us to be. Human beings are born with a need to experience personal contact. And that's why, as we walk through what the Bible has to say about how to bless your family, we recognize that the first element of a biblical blessing is to share a loving and appropriate touch. Touch is so important within the lives of a family. Being able to reach out and touch the people you love and let them know how much they matter to you. Last week I shared one of the key passages from Deuteronomy 6:6-7. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." That passage is so important that I use that passage every time we dedicate a child in our church. But my favorite part of that scripture is this one, this part. "When you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, you know why I like that phrase so much? Because it reminds us that you show God's love in the everyday moments of life. Not just when you find yourself in a worship service, or not just when something special is taking place. Basically, what Deuteronomy is saying is, as you go about your daily life, make sure that you show God's love to one another. The same thing is true about the blessing of a loving touch. A loving touch is not that time when you step aside and say, okay, this is the time. When I stand up a while ago and say, let's greet one another, that's not the only time you can reach out and shake someone's hand. That's not the only time you can reach out and offer a hug. That's not the only time. It's an everyday, all the time opportunity in your life, and especially at home. Especially at home, when you reach out and love those God's placed in your life. I'll bet you're just like me. I had the greatest privilege last week of going to see Hutton and Ruth and meeting their new daughter, Zuriel. And when you meet a new baby, what's the first thing you do? You reach out your finger so that child can grab you and hold on. Why? Because touch is so important. Because it matters so much. And I got to hold Zuriel, and then I got to place her in her mother's arms again and gather with mother and father and baby, and we prayed together and thanked God for her birth and prayed for the day when she'll be born again. Now there's a great privilege you have when you're a pastor. There's something special about the power of touch. And it's not something you think of as an obligation or an expectation. You don't walk in and say, well, I guess this person's expecting me to shake their hand. I guess this person is expecting me to pat them on the back. Instead, it is an opportunity to offer the gift of understanding and encouragement and affection. I care about you. It's one of the ways you reveal God's love to those who are special in your life, because the truth is, we are born needing a loving touch. Babies long to be cuddled. Preschoolers rush up to you and lift up their hands to be picked up and hugged. We love the idea of personal touch. Now, I said a while ago that one of the things I get to do is to identify somebody, call somebody out, but I'm not going to do it at this time, but I'm going to tell you a great story that I heard just this past Sunday night. And it was about the movie The Sound of Music. And we were talking about that movie, and I said, you know, the problem I have with The Sound of Music is Judith really, really loves that movie, but I don't. And the main reason I don't like it is because it lasts about 3 hours. And by the time it's, you know. But this person said, yeah, but you know what? I asked this girl out, and our first date was to The Sound of Music. And I was glad that the movie lasted that long, because by the end of the movie, I was holding her hand. And they've been married now for years. Isn't that great? You know, I bet you almost everybody in this room could say, I remember the first time I reached out and took a girl's hand. A boy reached out and took me by the hand. And I remember it because it's like electricity, that very first time. Why is it? Because we love the idea of touch. While the way we express our love changes over the years, the need for touch never changes. It may be a hug, it may be a warm handshake, it may be a pat on the shoulder, but it's from somebody who cares. And while it's been a long time since my little girl held my hand, it hasn't been that long at all since I got to hold out my arm and she took it and I walked her down the aisle. What a touch. The blessing of a loving touch is that it tells someone, I know you are there and you are important to me. And we need to hear that and we need to know that. It doesn't matter if you're newborn or 6 years old or 10 years old or 15 years old or 50 years old. Or 75 years old, and Nobody else is older than 75. That's just kind of, you hit the limit, and there you are, right? I told Judith one day, I said, you know what my goal is? I said, my goal is that I want you and I to be one of those cute little old couples that's walking down the mall together holding hands. That's my goal in life. And Judith said, don't grab my hand. No, she didn't. It's just important that we are able to share our love. On the other hand, people who never get the blessing struggle to thrive. They hunger to find value in their lives. They have trouble being able to express love to other people. No matter what else they have, there's always a sense of some sort of vacuum in their heart because something's missing that I really needed. And that's why it's so important that we deliberately offer the blessing of a loving touch to other people. You know, when I pray with someone in the hospital, if it's at all possible, I try to take their hand and pray for them. Often, I'm in the room and a family will gather around them and we all hold hands as we pray together. One of the healthiest things we do together as a church is that greeting time that we might take for granted. But here's the thing, never neglect the incredible value of loving touch in your home. Oh, it's important when you're here, and it's important when you find yourself in other places, but never more important than when you're at home. Never miss those opportunities to show affection and love and affirmation and approval. Make sure that you take advantage of those opportunities that come, because sometimes we miss them. Sometimes we get so distracted and busy that we neglect to remember how important a touch means to the people we love. And I can be just as guilty as anybody of taking the people I love most for granted. So it may be that if you don't do anything else from after you leave this place today, you'll remind yourself again, I need to make sure that I bless my spouse, that I bless my children, that I bless my grandchildren, and the people around me with a loving touch. Now understand something. God expects us to offer loving touch in a respectful manner. Always remember, the Lord calls you to offer this blessing in a way that makes other people feel both accepted and respected. Make sure that everything you do is done in an appropriate way. I'll never forget, years ago, Kimberly, you may have still been there in the youth group. I was a youth minister in Clanton, and there came that time when we were kind of divided up and our guys were in one direction. Judith was teaching middle school girls at the time. And I was down the hall and I was talking to the guys, and I was talking to them about how you relate to girls. And I was talking about, make sure that you build them up and make sure that you show support and make sure that you are respectful and appropriate and all those things that they needed to hear. And Judith was down the hall and she was teaching the girls, this is how you hug a boy. You reach over from the side. Make it firm, but not too firm. Not too long. Make sure that it makes him feel special, but that's all you need to do. It was an important Sunday in our lives and for our kids, because you need to learn, how do you do it in exactly the right way? Using your touch to be a blessing means being sensitive to the fact that different people respond to touch in different ways. Some people want a hug. Others prefer a handshake. Some people prefer a simple touch on the shoulders. And for others, just being close by is enough. So how do you know what's appropriate? Well, here's a godly principle when you ask those questions. Positive touch builds up. It makes people feel like they are more, that they are more appreciated, more loved, more secure, more safe. Inappropriate touch tears down. It dehumanizes and diminishes people. It makes them feel like less and not more. So we always aim to use touch to be a blessing. The blessing of loving touch reveals itself throughout Scripture. Just a few moments ago, Kristen, with our children, was showing them some of the passages where the touch of Christ made all the difference in somebody's life. But that's not the only time. You know, when Jacob was an old man, he blessed Joseph's sons by calling them to himself and laying his hands on them and speaking a blessing into their lives. When Samuel was sent to set David apart to be the coming king, he laid his hands on David and anointed his head with oil. In Antioch, when God called Paul and Barnabas to be set apart as the first missionaries, the leaders of that church prayed for them and laid hands on them. And when Jesus taught his disciples the most unforgettable lesson about servanthood, he took a basin and a towel and he washed their feet. The Bible reveals loving touch to be a means God has given us to confer his grace and his love and his blessing into one another's lives. And it's how you invest your own life into the lives of others that God has called you to bless. And that's especially true within a family. It's especially true within your family that you use loving touch to bless one another. Gary Smalley, in his book, The Blessing, says that all of us need at least 10 significant touches from people who love us every day. 10 significant touches. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do it. It just means sometimes you just walk by and you just rub their shoulder and let them know, I saw you were here. I care about you. Sometimes when our lives have been very busy, Judith will walk up to me and just start poking me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Makes me feel so loved and warm. But touching, significant touches, it's how a husband and wife keep their commitment to one another strong. It's how your children and their children experience your blessing. It's the way you pass the love along from generation to generation. We had a chance to spend yesterday in Chattanooga with our son Jamie and his family. It was time to spend some time with our grandchildren. Judith decided about a week ago, we don't have anything going on next Saturday. It's time for us to go to Chattanooga. And when I asked her if there was a reason, she said, it's because it's been too long since I've been able to get my hands on my grandchildren. A loving touch. And I got a special blessing of my own out of that yesterday because we went with them down to a little nature trail they have close to their house. And as we were walking along, Jamie's little girl, Carly Jo, reached up and grabbed my hand. And I thought, oh, I have missed this. Loving touch, it's so important. Jesus is our model for loving touch, and that's what makes the scripture we read together this morning so important, because if there's anywhere where we see a power of a blessing, it is in that encounter that a group of children and their parents had with the Savior. Jesus revealed that a loving touch is life-changing. Mark says some parents brought their children to Jesus that he might touch them. Don't miss what they wanted Jesus to do for their children. The Bible doesn't say that he might teach them or speak to them or ask them their names. They wanted their children to have an up-close and personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is passing our way, and this is my chance to get my children face to face with Jesus. They understood that when loving becomes a blessing, it involves everything you are. You look a person in the eye, you listen to what they're saying, you reach out to let them know that you are there with them. You see, a loving touch offers the gift of significance. It makes you important. The disciples didn't really understand that at all. So the Bible says they tried to shoo the children away. In fact, it says they rebuked the parents. Rebuke, that's a strong word that means get your children out of here. Means they fussed at them. You're bothering the Savior. Jesus is an important man. He's a respected teacher. He has too many things to accomplish to use his time up being bothered by a group of kids. But as they're shooing these parents away, Jesus stopped the conversation in its tracks. He said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them. Of such is the kingdom of God." Don't look at these children and say, "What a bother." You look at them and understand, that's God's kingdom right in front of you. Childlikeness, openness, trust, faith. There it is, right in front of you. As important as it was to those parents to ask Jesus to bless his children, it was even more important to Jesus to lay his hands on them. The disciples saw a distraction, but Jesus saw an opportunity to pour the love of God into the lives of little ones. And he wants you to do the same thing in your family. Like the Lord, seize the opportunity to offer a loving touch. All of us want to be loved. A wife may say to her husband, "I need a hug." A child may come up to her mother and say, "I need to sit in your lap." But the touch that matters the most, it's offered spontaneously. It's openly extended. It's eagerly received. It just happens because you love. And you want to make sure they understand how loved they are. Jesus reminds us that the Lord doesn't want us to count the touches we've received as much as he wants us to be ready to offer that blessing. Jesus demonstrated that a loving touch is offered without reservation. I love this verse. And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. Can you imagine the scene? Can you visualize what it's like? Jesus sitting on a hillside. These parents are pushing their way through. The disciples are doing everything they can to hold them back, but it's just not working. And then Jesus speaks and says, "Let those children come up here." I have no doubt that he asked every one of them his or her name. He talked to each one of them individually and found out something about them. For a moment, he spoke a blessing into their lives and told them something important they needed to hear. Then I think he took the smallest one up in his lap and he gathered all of the others around them and he blessed them. Can't you just see the Lord sitting right there? Can't you see him sitting where Kristen was this morning? With all these children gathered around her and not paying any attention to the rest of us because, let's face it, we didn't matter. And they did. And I have a feeling that all of the crowd gathered around on the hillside felt exactly that way when Jesus was talking to the children. You don't really matter right now. I don't need to see your faces. I don't need to hear your voices. I don't need to face your questions. I'm busy with the ones that matter the most. And he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. And don't you think that when those kids grew up and had children of their own, and grandchildren, that they would take those children and sit them down and say, "Let me tell you about the day when I met Jesus. I can still feel what it was like when he put his hand on my head and looked me in the eye and blessed me." loving touch in your home should be just that abundant and just that significant. You see, the important thing about a loving touch is not just the physical contact. The important thing about the blessing of a loving touch is that when you touch that person, you also give them all of your attention. And that's the blessing of it. It is feeling that for a moment, nobody else in the world matters except me. And you have the power to do that in the lives of the ones you love. You have the power to say to them, you are so important. Nothing else matters right now. You have all of my attention. Which means if you want your touch to be a blessing, you don't stand by your child and pat them on the back while you're looking at your phone. There they are. Nothing else matters. Here I am, just for you. And there's nothing else that blesses children more than for them to watch their mom and their dad reaching out and sharing love with one another, hugging each other, paying attention to each other, and recognizing my parents really love each other and they love me. What a blessing. What a blessing. You've heard it said before that your life may be the only Bible other people will read. That may not be true of your children. If we gave Everett a Bible this morning, we want him to grow up reading it and knowing the Word. But we also know this. When your children are growing up in your home, you really are that Bible. They're watching how important the Lord is in your life. And they're watching how they should love Him as well. Let your life be the first thing that points your family to the Lord. And do it with loving touch. What happens at home when it's blessed by a loving touch? Let me just share several things real quickly. The first thing is this. You give significance. I know you're there. You offer encouragement. I care for you unconditionally. You display affection. Whether a hug or a kiss or a back rub, it says you are loved. You share your faith by bringing the presence of Christ into your house. You bring the blessing home. One last thing I think is so important for us to recognize this morning, and it is how intentional those parents were when they brought their children to Jesus. I love, they didn't just happen to say, oh, look over there, there's Jesus. Why don't we go over and let our kids meet Him? They brought their children to Jesus. They were intentional. Not only that, they were deliberate. I get the idea when I read that passage that as the disciples tried to stop them, that they were kind of getting shrugged aside, don't you? Those parents are thinking, there's Jesus, here's my kid, you're not going to stop me. And they were so committed that their children have an encounter with Christ. What a challenge. What a challenge for all of us. So committed to have an encounter with Christ. And that's God's challenge in our homes as well. It all begins with your own commitment to Christ. And maybe you're here today as a parent or a grandparent and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you need one. Maybe today's the day when you start where you start by committing your life to Him. If so, in a minute when we stand and sing, if you'll come up here and find me, I will be so glad to introduce you to Christ. Or maybe you're here and you're thinking, this is where my family belongs. This is where I'm going to raise my family to know and follow Christ through First Baptist Church. And you just want to come and bring your membership here. Most of all, as we sing this morning, I want you to take a moment right where you are and simply say, Lord, you know what? It's what I need to do. I need to be that committed, that intentional, that prepared to reach out and love my family. In Jesus' name, will you help me do that, Lord? Will you help me? Let's stand together. Let's sing. As God speaks, you come. It's been a good day in God's house. Let me remind you, if you're interested in the trip to Greece next summer, if you'll just stay around here right after the service, we'll take about 15 minutes. We're going to give you an overview of what's going to be happening, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great trip. Dr. Hopkins and I are going to be walking, not only going to see the places where Jesus served, but worshiping in those places as well. It's going to be a very special opportunity. So if you're interested at all, you come and stay and get a little information. And then I want to share with you something that's going to be very exciting and important that's going to be taking place in our church next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be a really special time. Many of you know Herbie and Ann Gear. Herbie, they were missionaries in Jerusalem for, I think, 33 years. Before they retired and came back. They were here in Birmingham for a while. Now Herbie is the director of missions in Tuscaloosa. But one of his great concerns when he came back was building bridges between the Baptist world and the Jewish community to let them know we appreciate the heritage that we've been given. But even more than that, in the midst of a world where anti-Semitism has become so rampant, to let them know you have people who pray for you and love you. This is what's going to happen next weekend. Next Saturday morning, a group of us as Baptists are going to be going and attending a synagogue service here in Birmingham. And we're going to share that time. Next Sunday morning, a group of folks from the Jewish community are going to be joining our church for worship. So they'll be here. You'll see some special guests. You'll think, well, that's a big group of folks who came to church this morning. So we're going to reach out to them, we pray for them, and we ask God to bless and protect them. And we are grateful that our spiritual heritage comes from those people who were God's special people before Jesus came to make us all God's special people. So we'll look forward to that. Let's bow together now for a closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we do thank you that you offer us the opportunity for loving touch. That, Father, you bless us and you use us to be a blessing. So help us, Lord, to be sensitive to how we can reach out and show the love of Jesus with those simple ways that we reach out and love one another. And Father, we just want to pray as we go from this place, help us within our homes to offer that touch that is so needed and to do it as we love each other and because we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.